Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Today's episode of Zero Block 30, we have four rounds in the magazine. Round number one, customs and courtesies can be a huge pain in the dick, but they are also the backbone of military tradition. We asked our followers on Instagram and Twitter which customs and courtesy they get rid of and why. It's going to be a trigger warning for cons because most people want to fuck officers. Round number two, troops all across the world are dealing with shitty base housing. Fort Hood recently had a meeting about their issues that range from mold to lead paint, snakes, cockroach infestations, and dangerously faulty window screens. Round number three, finally, men won't be taken advantage of anymore thanks to this brave, brave group from San Diego who want to make sure the ladies can get drafted into our beloved military as well. Round number four, we had a listener submit the most dangerous drinking game in the history of the barracks. That might be saying something. How quickly would you die if you played this game? For me, it would be very, very quickly. I think maybe 1 hour. Let's start the show, which today is going to be presented by our friends at SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every single type of live event. Whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or searching for the last-minute deal for your favorite team, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats their being in person, and SeatGeek is your way to get closer to the action with great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I recently got it to go to the tickets. I'm going to go back to Jacksonville, go to the NCAA tournament, and check out those games because I heard that Florida State's there. When Florida State goes to Jacksonville, it gets a little raucous, so I want to make sure that I'm there for it. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and finding amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every single ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Get $10 off if you use the promo code CHAPS today. Just download the app, enter the promo code CHAPS. That's promo code CHAPS for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Buy you a beer at your first game because lots of the NCAA tournament games are actually going to let you drink beer inside this time. I think that's a new rule. I'm excited about that rule. Have a little frosty cold one on the fellas at ZBT.
No free ads, but New Amsterdam Vodka is the main partner, liquor partner with the Flyers, and they're also paired with Barstool Sports. So they brought a bunch of the Philly people down for the game along with Spit and Chicklets guys. I got after it. I will say, once you're back in your home area and you're feeling comfortable, meeting up with old friends, going out and about. But yeah, it was a really good time.
It is always really interesting to wake up the next morning because I usually go to bed at like 10:30, 11. To wake up and see what's going on Kate's Instagram stories.
Yeah, I wound up one night.
More niche as you go along.
There's this bar called Bob and Barbara's that I love. It's near Center City, and it's half drag show bar, half jazz bar.
Of course,
so, like,
it is.
There's these guys playing jazz up front. It's like real low key, and then like the bathroom attendant is like this 7-foot. Lady now who's like, hurry up, like telling you to go to the bathroom. And you're like, all right.
You just seem to love those.
Yeah.
You seem to enjoy those interesting combos, evident by the sandwich that you posted to stuff it right in Chaps's face.
You got ratioed on Twitter for that fucking thing.
I did. I put horseradish on my meatball sandwiches. Get off me. Haters.
It wasn't just horseradish this time. It was horseradish.
Yeah, there was a whole smorgasbord of stuff.
Vinegar.
Oil, vinegar, lettuce, pickles, horseradish sauce, extra spaghetti sauce, meatballs, American cheese, salt, pepper, and I think oregano and parmesan.
American cheese on meatball too?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, get out of here.
We're a pro-American podcast, but my goodness gracious. How was your weekend?
My weekend was lovely. Nothing of note other than to mention that I was 25 again playing flip cup in someone's apartment on Saturday night. Don't ask me why.
Yeah, I woke up. I saw yours too, and I felt sad for both you guys. In order to listen to my weekend, because I had a crazy good daddy-daughter weekend, you're going to have to tune into Podfathers. I'll leave that for the Podfather show because it was a big time there. You see that, Brent? That was fucking natural crossover, right? What a promotion of Pod by me.
Crushed it.
That was nice. Let's get into it because Friday, before the weekend started, I actually went to Lackland. And I was chilling there. I had an appointment at the doctor's that was supposed to take place at like 11 o'clock. I was parked there for a while, just listening to podcast or radio or whatever. And I see this Lieutenant Colonel get out of the vehicle in front of me. And he walks across the street and I'm watching him walk in. And I just pity his life. Because once you get to be, I think, Lieutenant Colonel and above, the odds that somebody is going to salute you every time they pass is probably around 95%. Once you're a lieutenant colonel, because you're just going, and anybody below that grade, majors and below on the officer's side, and then every single enlisted person, every single warrant officer has to salute you. That would be terrible. I would get out of the military just for that. I had a lieutenant whenever I was in Okinawa. His name was Lieutenant Jensen, real name. Second lieutenant, he was a former gunnery sergeant, so he crossed over to the officer's side. And he would get so tired of saluting just when we were doing like training together that he would take his cover and throw it across the field. And instead of saluting, he would just start clicking his heels together like he was fucking Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. And he was like, it's just so much easier. He's like, and he would just, if he was out with a bunch of Marines, he would just take off his blouse so he could be boots and utes without a cover on and then just get rid of it. And he was like, this is how I just roll outside now. I just go everywhere in boots and utes because I'm so tired of saluting. Cons, you were a saluter. Did you ever get sick of it?
A little bit, yeah. It definitely does get a little ridiculous because, I mean, even as low as a captain, I mean, it was rare that I would run into people who outranked me. Most of the times when you run into people, it's enlisted and it's lower officers. Just because, you know, as obviously it's like a pyramid. As you go up in rank, there's less people around. And if you avoid certain areas, you're just not going to run into majors, lieutenant colonels. So, yeah, if you're 03 to 05, you're just going to be saluting all damn day. And it's nice, whatever, but for the most part, it gets tiring. I'm definitely over it.
I imagine you are the type of Marine who you get lost in your own world a lot. We see that a lot on like the different shows that you do. Would that happen with you? You're like, oh, and then you would have to like bust out a salute real quick.
Oh, once I was at Fort Leonard Wood and I was walking, I had just come back from like their 7-Eleven bodega type store. Good and I was walking with a plastic bag in my right hand and this Army uh-oh lieutenant was walking by. And so I just saluted with my left, not thinking. he was like, oh, okay, you're a Marine. So you think you can just fucking disrespect? You think you can just disrespect? And I was like, I'm just stupid. I don't know.
He was a lieutenant and he locked you up?
Yeah, you got pissed.
No, I'll tell you what, man. As a lieutenant, you can't be doing that. Like if someone does something very egregious like that, maybe mention something, but to like chew you out is a little aggressive.
That was one of my—
I was being cocky Marine. I think he thought that I was like better than, because I, yeah,
that's one of my favorite Chesty Puller stories.
I probably would have just laughed.
Yeah. Chesty Puller was a colonel. He was outside. They had just got back from Haiti, and this was the mission where he used to have all of his troops rub hog's oil all over their feet. And whenever he came back, all the junior troops were all like unloading all the vehicles. They were getting everything in order, putting weapons up, putting all the gear up, putting supplies away. And the second lieutenant walked by a working detail, and one of the lance corporals was out there doing work, like he was actually getting on. The young second lieutenant stopped the Marine and said, oh, I guess we don't salute officers anymore. And he was chewing his ass, and Chesty Puller saw from inside a building. Chesty Puller went outside and got the second lieutenant. He was like, what's going on? Why are you yelling at this Marine while he's doing his work? And he was like, well, I need to teach him about customs and courtesies. Well, Chesty Puller said, you are absolutely right. Customs and courtesies are the backbone of our military. He's like, so what I want you to do is I want you to go to that Marine. I want him to you to tell him to salute him 1,000 times. He's going to salute you 1,000 times. And the second lieutenant's like, very well, yes, sir, we'll do. He's like, but you must remember that in custom and courtesy, every time he salutes, you must return the salute. So the second lieutenant, they're just saluting each other back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's like the best on, because you're doing shit, man. Like have a little bit of like normalcy whenever you're doing that type of stuff. And that's what I love about the Chesty Puller stories, that they're so good.
you got to have the wherewithal. I mean, there were definitely times if you're walking by and guys are doing something, I wouldn't expect a salute just because it doesn't make sense sometimes when you're going about your day. You know, just to go out of your way to find a group of guys to get a salute, that's kind of silly.
Well, so, that goes with a lot of the responses that we got on Twitter for our little bit of scuttlebutt because Chaps asked this through ZBT on Twitter. At Colonel JJ Love said, at least control the salutes. I'm a retired 06 and get saluted every morning when I present my retiree ID card. Even tried my CAC, but my Department of Defense ID is the same. So when they scan it, I still get saluted. I'm in a suit and tie. Just give them back. Give them one back. But geez, awkward as fuck. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even in a suit and tie, this guy's like, come on, guys, just leave me alone. Patrick Murray at the Pat Murray said, saluting decals on cars. Whoever thought that was a good idea, a good thing to be looking out for when crossing the street. Like, you don't want to be
looking. They actually got rid of those a couple years ago. But I remember when I was in, and as like a young Marine walking down the street, like, you had to squint in your eyes. Like, is that a blue decal or a red decal to see it like across the street? Mm-hmm. You had some people that if you didn't salute them, they would be pissed. Like, dude, you're driving down the road. Why are you worried about me?
And then friends who worked the gates would get so pissed when like some military spouse is coming through and gets all indignant if you don't salute the sticker. And it's like, you're not even in the military. Like there was a couple of cases where wives were like, excuse me, I'm not pulling through until you salute that sticker with them without the officer in the car. It's like, get out of here.
This might anger some people, but if a military spouse, you do not carry the same rank as your significant other that's in the military, so you can knock that stuff off right now. And I agree with you guys.
Cons.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No. Just knock it off.
Would you say they can kick rocks?
They might. They're on the verge of being told to do such. But, you know, at the gate, I don't have so much a problem at the gate if you're actually looking at someone's ID. Okay, got it. But, yeah, I'm not, like, paying attention to cars when I'm walking on the sidewalk. So if I miss a salute when a general's driving by, yeah, sorry. And then if you care enough to pull over and then come chew me out, that's a little much on my part. I mean, for the most part, I enjoy the customs and courtesies that we do in the military. I'm a big fan of tradition, but sometimes there are some salutes that we could do without.
There was another one. This one actually made me laugh out loud. There's very rare times that I'm like looking at Twitter or Instagram that I actually laughed out loud. This has nothing to do with customs and courtesy at all. But Smith City, old Kyle, said, I was called some very mean things at Paris Island, period. Didn't care for it.
Get rid of the custom of mean drill instructors, this guy is saying. So,
this is a good one. Kate, do you remember the attention on deck speech?
Oh, yeah. Attention on deck. But I remember having to do it. Yeah. I don't remember was there a speech that came with it?
Yeah, you would say, attention on deck, good morning, sir, good morning, gentlemen. And then you would announce who it was at bird camp. First, our series commander, blah, 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 on deck, good morning, sir. And then everybody else would say, good morning, sir. It's just like a chorus. You kind of stop doing that unless it's a colonel and above whenever you're actually like in the fleet, like when you're actually in the Marine Corps.
I mean, we had when our battalion commander would come into the office when I was on staff, they would call the entire office. Like I was in like a different room and they would call the entire office to attention. You were supposed to stand at your deck. Never mind that he couldn't see you. It was just one of those things. I always found that kind of odd.
That is weird. Another one that I super agreed with at Infantigo said retirement ceremonies for somebody you've never met, but they just needed bodies to make the ceremony look important. How many of these did you get voluntold to go to where you had no idea who the hell was retiring, but you had to stand in the hot sun for like 3 hours, not including the practice, not including the whatever, just so it looks cool, just so the retirement ceremony looks cool.
And it's so funny to see those from like the road whenever those are going around at different units because like everything stops for that unit for this little retirement ceremony. But in reality, nobody else gives a shit. Like no one else gives a fuck when you're driving down the road and you see all these crazy different formations. Going to those was terrible. But that's not really a custom and courtesy either. Calling a billet to attention when the officer walks in or like a high level sergeant major or something like that is – I actually like that rule. I think that rule's fine and good. I don't mind that one. Do you guys mind it?
So what I was just saying was I didn't mind it, you know, for the rooms and the folks that were in view of the officer walking in. But if I'm three rooms away and there's halls and walls in between myself and I can't even see him when he walks in the door, I just always thought that was kind of silly.
Well, that's taking it a step far for sure. They're not even the same. Yeah. You might as well just start doing it now. Just doing it in your office. Like somebody's walking in somewhere. Somebody's walking right now.
Otherwise, I agree with you, chaps.
This one, I think it gives away different branches of service because our guy Eric Olson said, I've heard troops now have to greet senior NCOs. Fuck that. Kate, what are your thoughts on that?
Have to greet? Haven't we always had to greet senior NCOs? When I was a Lance Corporal, I always greeted the corporal, the sergeant. Good morning, sergeant. Good morning, corporal. We actually had a sergeant who was kind of a goofball who got an enormous goiter on his neck. And so I was an NCO at the time too, but it was huge. And we told all the Lance Corporals behind his back that when you passed him, you had to say, good morning, gentlemen. Like it was the goiter was another person. But we always did that. That didn't bother me.
I leave good morning, gentlemen, to a goiter.
Here's one that I don't agree with. Our friend Jesse Delaney said, standing at attention for officers, just make it parade rest for all. Let's not let everything just go to hell in a handbasket, all right?
See, you guys, I would never stand at, unless I'm getting my ass chewed, we don't stand at a position of attention.
Well, you have a thing or two to learn then, I guess. Sorry.
That's fucking ridiculous, standing at a position of attention, because you're not supposed to even speak. Like, that's stupid.
Well, if we're having a conversation, you go to parade rest. Yeah, but when, you know, when I first walk in the room, I'd appreciate some respect.
There you go.
Absolutely not. No way. This one is outrageous. And I hadn't even thought about this for a long time. The cook serving meals in the officer wardroom as their fucking royalty.
What is that? Is,
like, so, you know, like you have officer's mess and you have like the regulars. And like, so chiefs and above in the Navy and E6s in the Marine Corps too would go like have like separate mess hall basically whenever you're eating like on a ship, and they would actually be served. Like the officers didn't go through and get their shit from like a receiving line. You would at a buffet. They actually get their meals like brought to them.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I can see.
I hate it.
I'm reading about General Krulak right now. I've been reading this book for like 1,000 years now. But he was one of the top military officers especially during the Vietnam War. By then, he was a 3-star. But he liked to take off his rank and mix amongst the men of the chow hall and get the vibe for morale. How was the food? What's going on? Like, he was, like, very much into...
See, and that's such bullshit. Like, everybody still knows it's General Krulak. He could be wearing a fucking dildo on his head. And
especially because he was 5'3". So he really...
It's just same thing, like, whenever you have these... The Commandant. Remember the Commandant released his video doing, like, the CFTs? Like, I just want to get out here and be with the Marines. And just be treated like one of the nobody's treating you like you're fucking regular when you have 4 stars on your collar. You don't have to even be wearing a collar. You could be wearing nothing. You could be butt ass naked. Everybody still salute you.
Not to mention, I mean, you've earned the right to not be treated that way as if you're just some normal soldier, normal Marine.
Well, it's the suck dick culture. I think that you go about your normal business. There is this, and really it's like fucking colonels who do it the most, with general level officers who are just all up on the general's dick because they want like the next billet and things like that.
Yep.
I almost threw up. Fresh story alert. I almost threw up whenever I was at Lackland. We were doing this demonstration for the combat tracker dogs. The combat tracker dogs could track people up to miles away, even if they get in a car, like because they pick up on it. Was the section that I was in charge of when I was like almost done at my time at Lackland. So we had an Air Force general, I'm pretty sure it was the chief of staff, come out and we were doing it. And they wanted to see the demonstration even in the rain, because we were like all about like, we could do this if it's raining, if it's snowing, wherever, we can do this tracking demonstration. So the general wanted to come out and see it. It was raining. A colonel was holding an umbrella above the chief of staff's head. And when I saw it, I was just like, you little bitch. Like, why would you do that? Hold your old fucking, why do you even need an umbrella? First of all, you're still in uniform. It's not like he's in class A's or some shit. Like, he's still in uniform. Getting an umbrella hell for him, that to me is egregious.
This is like the third story you've told over the course of CBT where some sort of umbrella has triggered you.
I hate umbrella use.
Yeah.
Chaff really? Will never use an umbrella. That's a promise.
That is a big time promise that I'm willing to make to the listeners right now. If you see me, I'll make a monetary promise. If you see me out in the streets with an umbrella, I will Venmo you $1,000.
Wow. People are going to be on a tight umbrella watch for Chaps.
It will never happen. All right, round number two. The base housing is in disarray. This story comes from us from the Austin Statesman. Should be Stateswoman too, right, Kate?
Mm-hmm. It's sick of that shit. Come on. Yes,
it's 2019. States, we're respecting
the States lady.
States people.
Yeah. Soldiers and their spouses told Fort Hood brass and housing official Thursday night about horrific conditions on base housing. It ranges from blooms of mold. See, blooms of mold makes it sound beautiful. Like,
yeah, you're right. It does. Sounds lovely. It's
nice. Wonderful, beautiful blooms of mold. Lead paint and infestation of snakes and cockroaches and dangerously faulty window screens. Fort Hood lawmakers have set aside $300 million to renovate 24 barracks in recent years, including $61 million last year. They fear that those funds could be used to pay for border wall construction, says U.S. Representative Roger Williams, a Republican who represents Fort Hood, to come out against the national emergency this week if he would threaten renovations of what were said were the barracks were literally falling down. So this guy represents Fort Hood, and he doesn't want the military money that's allocated for base housing to be spent on the border wall. He wants it to actually go build the barracks, build the housing, build military buildings, because a lot of them are very shitty. And when he says literally falling down, because this is an actual army base like Fort Hood, which Khan spent the time in, he really means literally about to fall down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unfortunate. It pains me to listen to this just because I spent more time at Fort Hood than anywhere else. And I just know what those barracks look like. And I can't say that I'm surprised to be hearing about this story.
You look pretty kind.
There was times on base housing, going to the enlisted on base housing. I always lived off base once I got the BH or whatever. But going to the on base housing for lower enlisted was the most depressing thing. Yeah. It was such a shithole. Like, I went to one couple's apartment there on base, and I was like, I can't believe you have to live in this shithole. Like, when they moved in, the carpets were, like, thick with dirty grease. The walls were yellow. The window screens were, like, falling apart. Like, I was like, I can't believe that this is what they gave you. That it, like, was gross. I felt bad for them.
I thought most of the time, our listeners, but whenever I lived in Italy as a young child, young chaps sitting in a crib still, my mother has told me many a stories over weeping and gnashing of teeth that she found a rat in my crib.
Oh my God.
We lived in housing. And she walked in there and there was a big old rat, and it was not Master Splinter.
Oh my goodness.
And I was just hanging out, and the filtration system was so bad because we live close to a volcano. That's where my eyes are always red because I was allergic to volcanic ash. Has nothing to do with my banana induced pink eye, but it's still a bad situation.
Totally volcano rat.
When we lived in Pax River, Maryland, when we lived there, black mold all throughout the place. We had to get out of the base housing there for a little while. It's a common theme across the military. The old Quantico housing looks straight up like a meth lab. Like, it is horrific.
It's awful. And it's basically like, and even on, I went to, what's that, Fort Bragg. I went to on-base housing there once, and I was like, oh my God, what a, absolute shithole. And the playground behind it was an absolute shithole, and the landscaping was a shit. It's like, people are putting it all on the line. These families are sacrificing so much. Like, come on, help them out a little bit here with some nice...
It looked like one of the scenes from The Fucking Wire. Like, you
I swear, there's like an old couch that everyone hung out on and the grass behind it. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
It's just, I mean, it is tough. I'm not defending them, but it is tough when you consider how many people you have to house. So to maintain these large buildings does take a lot of work. So it really gets the old, we'll just do good enough for government work type treatment. And that's what happens. These things, these little problems turn into big problems because they just get ignored year after year. And I think so many times people, and it's across the military, it's just like, that's just kind of always how it's been. So we don't need to make too much of an effort to improve the living situation for any of these guys when that should be a focus. They should be trying to improve
the living situation. A lot of the high level leadership just comes into the base housing place and they say, not my chair, not my problem. They're not concerned about it. And right. The slide is because it has always been that way. Another issue is all the private companies that have been hired to like take care of it. Because mm-hmm. I remember as a company gunny, if one of my Marines, like if their heating went out during a snowstorm or shit like that, they were not on call to the same level. Whenever it used to be like on Okinawa, it was military members who took care of that. Like the Air Force people, like they had actual service members who were 24/7 that if something went down, like in a typhoon, they were fucking coming out because they're a member of the military too. When you have all these different private organizations, they have HR departments, they have all these different rules. And that's what really stinks is because you start dealing with a bunch of civilians who don't have the same like desire to come in on a Saturday. So you have leaky faucets, you have all this shit that never gets fixed because nobody cares.
No, it really is a shame. Cause I mean, these guys are some of the hardest working folks in our military. So they deserve just basic housing. You know, we're not even asking them to upgrade it to where they're just living in the laps of luxury. Just give us some basic stuff. They shouldn't have to deal with rooms and apartments and barracks that are just falling apart at the seams. It's terrible.
But I will give a shout out to the Lieutenant Commander, or Lieutenant General who's in charge of Fort Hood, who has, by the way, a phenomenal name. Listen to this fellow's mm-hmm. name. Lieutenant General Paul E. Funk.
Paul E. Funk.
He told soldiers and family members it was time for the Army to fix the issues of unsatisfactory housing. I was born at Fort Hood, damn it, so I take this personally. We will make a real change. We will be transparent about it. This is about communication and trust. I just don't know. I mean, you're a lieutenant general. You probably could have done something as a two-star, too. I think that once a story blows like this, everybody gets up in arms. You knew your soldiers were living in a shitty situation, and you didn't do anything until Reuters and AP had a crazy story
right. That
talks about mice and meth and fucking lead paint everywhere. Should have been fixed a long time ago, but nobody cares.
Let me ask you a question.
They don't really care.
They don't. As you said, they only care because now it's out there that they're living in squalor. Let me ask you a question, though, because I'd never lived on base housing, but do you think it's part of the military's rite of passage to live in on base housing and in shitty housing? And it hardens you?
I think that in a war to go from like corporal to say staff sergeant, you've got to live in a place that has a lot of lead paint in order to get there. Like you're not going to get there without the lead paint.
I think it gives you a little something extra, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it gives
you need a little asbestos in your step.
You do. Round three, ladies, we are in. We finally made it. More than 45 years after the military draft ended, a federal judge ruled that a law requiring men, but not women, to register for the draft is unconstitutional. In a ruling issued late Friday, U.S. District Judge Gray Miller denied the government motion to keep a lawsuit originally brought by the National Coalition for Men, a nonprofit men's rights advocacy group, which was seeking an injunction ordering the Selective Service System to require women to register for the draft. Basically, all that means, this men's rights group is like, it's not fair that women don't have to register for the draft when we have to. And it went through. They won. So the draft itself ended during the final stages of the Vietnam War back in 73. But all American men age 18 to 26 are still required to register with the Selective Service System. So is that something that, like, when you're getting your license, like, I wouldn't know. I'm a lady. I've never had to. So
I have no idea. I didn't know this existed.
For me, you had to go, in order to enlist, you had to go volunteer for the Selective Service and to get a student loan. Like, to get a federally insured student loan, you have to be registered. You have to show proof of registering for the Selective Service, too. So I think it's been a while. I'm obviously fucking old as hell, but I think whenever you're 18, you just do it at the post office.
Basically, the Supreme Court had previously upheld excluding women from the draft in 81 when this went to court because women were excluded from combat duty at the time. But because that prohibition on women in combat duty was lifted in 2015, it doesn't make constitutional sense anymore. So if there ever was a time to discuss the place of women in the armed services, that time has passed. That's what Judge Gray wrote. So basically, now saying, hey, ladies are out there doing the same stuff as men. There's no reason they shouldn't. And the National Coalition for Men, the men's rights advocacy group who fought for this, I feel like they thought they were doing like a real jab at feminists and stuff by saying, here, you got your equality. You have to go to war now too. But I went down a rabbit hole in this group. And so like, remember when Gillette had that like masculinity, yeah, toxic masculinity ad? Mm-hmm. They went out and they're like, we're putting stickers on all Gillette products that say this product's harmful to males. They like work on studies that show women don't support other women. They compared the Kavanaugh hearing to a high-tech lynching. So they're pretty jazzed about this. But honestly, I'm totally cool with this. One, I don't think we're having a draft come around for quite some time. If it comes to that, I mean, fucking
sign me. We're in bad shape. I don't think we'll ever get back to a draft.
And two, I don't disagree that I'm cool with it.
Right.
I think it's fine and dandy with me. So I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it stands to reason that if you guys can fight in combat now, that the men should not have to bear the burden should the draft come around again. So all things are equal. So let's make it very equal. And also, I must note the gentleman, the district judge, his name, Gray Miller. I think it's great when you have a first name that's a color. Gray, red, blue. Those are always great names.
Oh, yeah. Judge Purple Octagon is crushing it right now in the Supreme. Good one, Kate. Jeff, start talking so you break up my awkward joke.
What else do we see change, though, besides just adding women to the draft? What do you think, Kate? What else do you want women added to?
Well, they say that we're equal in service now, but we're still not. I remember when I was in, I could go out and do things at the infantry in Marja, but I wasn't allowed to say it. So I had to change the wording in all my reports. So I wasn't on a patrol. I was on an atmospherics survey.
That's
like,
so
I could
dumb.
Never say, so I, you know, I never got to say I did the same things as men. And like, there's just still so much that's not equal. So let's really keep the standards equal and make it equal, and which will be tough for women. But
I was just going to say, do you think that I don't mean to be dramatic, but do you think that ever happens? That's ever going to happen?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just going to take time still. Mm-hmm. I think it'll still take time. Mm-hmm. And I think it depends on the leadership in the unit. I don't think it's going to be across the board, but I think slowly but surely people will get on board with it. We'll see. Who knows?
Speaking of getting on with it, let's talk a little bit about masturbation.
Moving okay. On.
All right, round four. We had a user submitted picture, and this one is shocking to me as a former person who has stood duty. Kate, I assume that you have stood duty many a times as well in the barracks. Cons, I assume not. Maybe at West Point. Did you guys have barracks duty at West Point?
Yes, so I did it then. Not often, though. Well, only a couple times.
Okay, so you have a little bit of barracks duty. We got this picture. It's of a big whiteboard, and on the whiteboard, the guy said that he was duty NCO, walked in and saw this up in the common area of the barracks. I can't imagine getting anything more nerve-wracking within your barracks, because there's nothing worse than being the duty NCO and having a barracks full of drunk junior enlisted troops.
Oh, just, gotta be terrible.
And not just like your onesies and twosies. I mean, everybody's drunk.
I don't really understand the game, though, because like, so if there's like 20 of them up there, so I take 20 drinks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah. Then Chaps, I agree. Then there's probably a lot of dead people dead in those.
I mean, honestly, you just might as well just go grab a bottle of vodka and just start chugging.
And like, just freaking finish it. Yeah.
In the barracks, man, those dudes are hazardously horny. Like, you've got nothing to do.
Oh, those pipes are clogged. Those pipes are clogged.
If you're talking about overseas, or not even overseas, if you're talking about, let's say, Camp Geiger, North Carolina, where you just got out of boot camp, it's the first time you're doing onesies and twosies in a room. There, when I was at Fort Leonard Wood, what, Kate?
Go on.
So when I was at Fort Leonard Wood, usually whenever you leave a school, you have to make sure that everything's out of the room, everything's spotless, right? Like, that's part of leaving.
Right.
Kate, you remember that, Kate? Your face is ridiculous.
Go on.
Do you remember at boot camp whenever you would get the brown towels?
Oh,
yes.
No.
Oh, God. All right. Yes.
There was a brown towel when I was at Fort Linderwood that I pulled out from a mattress underneath the mattress, and that motherfucker was stiff as a board.
Oh, standing up straight.
You could have used it as a cutting board. It was so strong, and I was just like, my God, man, somebody in this thing just absolutely
a board. Oh, it wasn't your towel?
No, it wasn't my time. Somebody there before me, like in between the two mattresses.
We had Health and Comforts. I had a roommate who kept her double-sided dildo with like a extra butt attachment just like out on her coffee table thing. Or not a coffee table,
on
her
butt attachment on a double-sided.
Yeah, it had like a little third prong that came out that like I assume it went in a butt. I don't know. And then
Marines, man.
Other Marines, when we had Health and Comforts, the fleshlights that would get found. And then on my second deployment, we were putting Connex boxes at first. And these two lady gunnies that were attached to, I think, CID with us, when we all got called out to a meeting, they came out with a plastic bag and they were like, we want to know who stayed in it before us because we found this. And it was like a homemade dildo. Like, Jesus. Like you hear that? Like
they made it out of clay. Like,
and what? I thought it was like so unprofessional of them because we had been switching Connex boxes, so someone in our unit had been staying there before. I was like, why you gotta call people out? Like, what?
Well,
nobody have their homemade dildo if they went to all the effort.
I think one of the most common things that we do in the military is help other people move. Like whenever somebody are moving out. I remember going, I was in Virginia and I had to help one of my buddies move out, and we picked up his mattress to move it out of him and his wife's bedroom, and underneath was the largest. I mean, it looked like a baseball bat size dildo.
Yeah.
I just never looked at his wife the same. Like, yeah. How in the world? I mean, that thing must have gone to her throat. There's no, I mean, it looked like a baby arm.
Oh, yeah. We had another guy who had left. It was the weekend, and we were all drinking in this one guy's room. And the roommate who was gone for the weekend had left his what those big things, armoire, unsecured or whatever. Wall locker, yeah. That's how long it had been out.
What a vocab pull.
He left his, and just sitting there on the thing was nipple clips and a butt plug. And like, next thing you know, all the Marines are clamping each other's nipples together while they're drinking and stuff. And like, you got to secure that shit, man. You got to secure it.
I have a story too.
Okay.
One of my friends in high school threw a house party, and one of the bullies in school managed to find his way into his mom's bedroom and found his mom's dildo and started parading it around the house at his own house party.
That's lovely.
That is low. The only other time that I think I laughed the hardest I've ever laughed in like a barracks inspection, I had this gunny named Fuentes, and he was doing a barracks inspection, and he was going through everything, and you look through everything when you're doing the barracks inspection. One of the main places that you look for cleanliness is in the microwave. So we opened up the microwave, and the only thing that was inside was a banana peel. He looked over at the Marine and was like, you nasty fucking worm. Knowing that he was heating that bad boy up for about 8 seconds before he was dingling.
Oh my God.
Kate's face from like not knowing what I was talking about, the self-discovery there.
I knew you were going right away.
I did not.
Credit to
I thought you're usually supposed to use cantaloupes or grapefruit for that stuff.
Oh no, my friend. Banana peel.
Banana. Credit to, I don't know if it was a soldier, Marine, or who, but whoever made this game up on the whiteboard, they did have the stools and the stool and stars, so it was branded as a Barstool game.
Oh, God.
We got that going.
Oh, that's lovely.
True. All right, so social media can be good. It can give us topics like that, but it can also be bad. One of our good pals, friend of the program, Angry Staff Officer, did a little bit of discovering of this Marine Corps veteran, or not even a veteran. I think he's still on active duty, right?
No, he's still active duty. So he retweeted, but this guy, Ed Beck, tweeted, another fascist Nazi, what did he say? Oh, fuck. Sorry, guys. Anyway, another fascist. Yeah.
You want to start over?
Sorry. Yeah, I have the tweet up now. My bad.
Okay, here we go. Social media can be good, and it can also be bad. Like, we just discovered a little bit of a drinking game. It's good, depending on which way you look at it. If you like to get blackout drunk at the barracks on a Friday, it's good. If you don't like that thing, it's probably bad. What's definitely bad, and we are going to go on the record firmly as a podcast, Zero Block 30, against Nazis in uniform, and that was discovered on social media this weekend. Right, Kate?
Right. This is kind of my saved round. So this kind of blew up on vet Twitter over the weekend, but we've had a couple cases over the last few years of Marines in like Nazi and KKK groups getting called out, which you're an absolute dumpster fire. If that's you, fuck you. You're not a Marine at all in any way. Ugh. But so this guy Ed Beck said another fascist Nazi admiring Marine outed last night, Lava Dogs, Lance Corporal Mason Edward, and Lava Dogs is 1-3 First Battalion, 3rd Marines. Edward Meade of Birmingham, Alabama, recent convert to radical traditionalist Catholic Society of St. Pius X, founded by a Nazi sympathizer, hoovered up his social media today after a tip on Friday, and it's bad. So then he includes all these screenshots of the guy's post where, and his handle is at Jacobite Edward, and he's 20 infantrymen dedicating my life to God, Catholic, counter-revolutionary. And he goes on to just absolutely rip on Jewish people, on black people, on basically anybody who is not a white dude. He goes to Japan where he's posting pictures of himself in uniform in Japan saying, like, I'm just quoting one of his tweets, Ching Chong, I've made it, blah, blah, blah. Like all these, yeah, proceeds to do a ton of slurs towards Asian people. He, there's pictures of him at the armory where he's putting weapons in the shape of swastikas. There's pictures of him with blackface on. He uses his like camo paint to put blackface on and just all sorts of like absolutely heinous shit. And the deeper you go, the worse you realize this absolute, and he's like, you look at him, giant fucking nerd. Like he's the guy you get your bunkmate assignment. And you're like, not this fucking guy. That's his room too.
He looks exactly like that. When he you looks said exactly that, when we were talking like before, it's like, that's exactly, you walk in, you're like, oh God, I'm going to come in. He's going to be masturbating while choking himself or something.
Yeah. And he posts pictures of like him holding a gun on a tweet about this feminist group. He's like, I'd like to see how they like a few good taps from their own commie gun. And he's holding up like an old communist rifle. Like,
So this guy just hates everybody.
And he's just, except for white people.
Yeah.
And,
except white people. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's just disgusting. And like looking at his setup in the barracks, his side of the room is just like covered in pictures of Jesus, pictures from the Crusades, and then a giant nerd gaming chair that like JP from Grandma's Boy would sit in with like sit on my face like that guy. And you're just like, what the fuck? So people are tweeting at the Marines now, like get this guy.
First of all, I don't like, as a newfound gamer, I do you disrespecting my game culture, because everybody knows I am all in. I'm back in on gaming, back in big time. But it's, I mean, social media, I don't know if you guys saw, there's this article about on Verge that they talked about some of the people who worked at Facebook, because that's how so many people are getting radicalized. It's like happening more and more often. There's these moderators who are assigned by Facebook to go through all these different meme accounts, like from the Russian bots and shit like that, to see what happens. These moderators, this is a quote from The Verge, the moderators told me it's a place where conspiracy videos and memes, they could see they gradually lead them to embrace fringe views. One auditor walks the floor promoting the idea that the earth is flat. A former employee of Facebook told me he has begun to question certain aspects of the Holocaust. Another former employee who told me he has mapped every escape route in his house and sleeps with a gun at his side and said, quote, I no longer believe 9/11 was a terrorist attack. Like the way that social media happens, and like you just, it's gradual like turning, because they go back. I remember seeing some of these vet Twitter people going back to his post from like 2 years ago. That wasn't a thing. And you could see the progression of like the radicalization of his timeline, of his YouTube channel and things like that, and take place in real time on Twitter because of the accounts that he was retweeting and looking at constantly and seeing all these conspiracy videos. And now he's like fully embraced that lifestyle. It's crazy.
Wild. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where to go with this. It's like,
well, do you think the Marines, are they going to find him and remove
him? Oh yeah.
He deleted his Twitter already.
But here's the thing.
Could you imagine getting that phone call from your first sergeant? Be like, hey, bitch, you're being racist.
But here's the thing, though. He had been called out before, apparently, and it's been brought to his command's attention before, and nothing was really done. And
that's terrible.
Here's what was telling to me, that he was so comfortable having an open account, doing this, showing his own face, like he felt that comfortable where he was at doing that, that was not a problem for him.
Well, a lot of times I don't think that that's like an embracing of it from the Marine Corps culture. I think that that's just shows the amount of it, like idiocy that you can have in your body too, because there is no way. One, it's very difficult, like from a command perspective, it is a difficult process to get people removed. And that should be something that takes place a lot easier. You get caught like being a white nationalist, being involved with the KKK, being involved with any of the like fringe right, fringe left groups, you should be kicked the fuck out immediately. It shouldn't be something like, oh, we got to do a negative counseling, give them fucking 4-2 pro cons.
Yeah, people will always tell you in the military, there always has to be a paper trail. You can't just go to them with one incident and say, all right, this guy's got to go. So that is somewhere that, you know, we should be able to use a little leadership discretion and say that there's no paper trail here, but it doesn't matter. Look at what this person is saying. And this is not someone who upholds the values that we teach and live in the Marine Corps. So we need to get him the hell out right now.
Yeah. This isn't like showing up late to PT. It's like being a Nazi. Like that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I hope he gets the old fashioned sock beaten. There, I said it.
I'm all in on that.
I would like to put a back hazy.
I think that should be a caveat, like in command books, like you're not allowed to haze, really intense style hazing, unless you find a swastika. There's a swastika in there.
And then my biggest, finest bar of Dove in my oldest, greenest sock, and just swirled around. There, I said it. That's my kick rocks. Cons.
All right.
Wow.
Getting wild. Does anyone else have any save rounds? I'm all jacked up.
Cons.
Yeah, I got one. I came across a story from our friends over at military.com. And chaps, you may already know this, being the resident Winnie the Pooh aficionado of the crew. Oh. But did you guys know that A.A. Milne, the author, he was a veteran of both world wars, and he created Winnie the Pooh to explain war to his son, Christopher.
Christopher, there's some bad, bad men in the world.
But there's people that theorize actually like all the characters in the books kind of exude different characteristics of veterans. They said Piglet is paranoia, Eeyore depression, Tigger impulsive behavior, Rabbit perfectionism caused aggression, Al memory loss, Kanga and Roo represent overprotection. So I just thought that was a little tidbit.
I actually don't hate that.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Whenever I used to do leadership classes, I would say Saved by the Bell, that there is members of every single Saved by the Bell show. But Winnie the Pooh, even better. Love it.
And then, Winnie was A.A. Milne, who he wrote for himself as Christopher Robin's guide through the 100-acre woods.
I love that. I think that's very sweet.
So, interesting little tidbit there.
Winnie the Pooh.
Brick by brick, Winnie the Pooh.
I saw one last thing on Twitter that I want to mention. A social media heavy episode today, but there is a guy, Tom Mullen is his name on Twitter. I don't know if that's his actual name or not. He said, quote, in Iraq 2003, we came across this kid crying because his dead dad had just been killed. Kid picks up his dad's gun pointed at us. I knew my squad was going to shoot. Knowing I had a body armor on, I stepped in front of the kid, take the bullet to the chest and his gun. The kid survives. There's always another way. What an outrageously bullshit story that is.
Outrageously bullshit.
Just. Who? In 2003, we had flak jackets, bro. There was no fucking dragon skin underneath. You didn't have like sappy plates that could stop any type of AK-47 rounds. The fuck out of here, Tom Mullen, you liar. That didn't happen.
How many Tom likes Mullen. Did that get too? I can see like lefty
two retweets and two likes.
So. Oh, I was just kind of latching on and being like, how brave.
Just unbelievably stupid. Jumped in front of the kid and took a shot to the chest. Not in that fucking flak jacket, you didn't, my friend.
Yeah, calling bullshit. Calling bullshit on that
one. Get out of here, Tom.
I mean, in 2004, when we were wearing those things and doing hip toss, I lost my breath. I can't imagine kicking around to the chest.
No, not at all. And who would shoot anyway? Like, what's why I was like, all right, Tom. You stepped in front. I guess I'm still pulling the trigger. Like, who? What?
Classic case of Eeyore. I bet that's Eeyore.
Yeah.
Eeyore.
Yeah. Veteran Twitter, just a mess this week. Clean it up.
Calm down.
No more Nazis in the Marine Corps. Please sound the retreat.